Welcome, everybody, to our next episode. I am Michael Brinkman with the Ultimate Toolkit here, and I'm joined today by Ryan Robbins, the Vice President of Alliance Partnerships at the Hall of Fame. How's it going today, Ryan?
Good, Michael. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you today.
Absolutely. And yeah, let's jump right in here. I know one of the topics I wanted to chat a little bit about with you is non-traditional revenue. I know it's a big thing right now, and it's obviously with teams and venues looking for new ways to use their facilities. It sounds like you guys have been busy in this area at the Hall of Fame. Can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, your role there, and then how that fits into kind of the overall expansion plans and how your facility is operating long-term?
Yeah. My role, my title, I guess, is Vice President of Alliance Partnerships, which is our sponsorship group. It's really all-encompassing business development, since we're a company of about 30 people that's building a $300 million resort and entertainment destination. So it kind of fits within the scope of our organization. And we're, for those that don't know what our project is, we are the Hall of Fame Village. Our parent company is the Hall of Fame Resort and Entertainment Company, which is comprised of three different divisions, one being the Hall of Fame Village Resort and Entertainment Destination, much like a small Disney would be, that just based around the game of football in the United States. And obviously we're the only resort entertainment district that is based around a professional Hall of Fame. So what we, I guess, are building started back in 2016, 2017. We have a 22,000 seat football stadium, and we have a sports complex that right now comprises of five full fields that is programmed for youth and adult practices, games. We have about 300,000, a little under 300,000 people that play or visit those fields on an annual basis. But we also opened a hotel in November, about 2 miles from campus. We have another hotel on campus that we're building. We have a football themed water park. We have a retail restaurant, office building, center for performance, indoor field house, and then a bunch of green spaces around for families and local people and folks that travel in for our sports and our sports complex to be able to enjoy the outside and the few months a year we have good weather here in Ohio. So you want to be outside as much as possible. So, and I guess my role fits into that is it's a challenging sponsorship market for everybody right now. Hopefully in the span of time that we're coming out of COVID, it's looking a lot better with vaccines and everything. It's professional sports, but from a real estate development side of things in a resort and entertainment district, you have tons of opportunities for in office spaces, in retail, bringing retail or restaurants to the masses that are going to stay here in our campus. But the whole idea of our campus is to build everything here so that when people visit here, they have everything they need on campus. Park your car, put your keys in your laptop bag or in your purse in the hotel, and you don't have to go back in your car until you leave to go home.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lean and mean staff there, but you got a lot of interesting developments that are taking place for your whole facility. That's great.
Growing organization, we started when I started in October of 19, I was, I think, employed 12 or 13. And challenging times for everybody during COVID. So we went, back a few from there, and now we're mid-30s and growing.
So you mentioned just a second ago the challenging time on the sponsorship side, and you have a very interesting career path in both tickets and sponsorship, which I want to get to in a second here. But in your mind, how have sponsorships evolved and changed over the years? Obviously, we're in a very unique time now, but does your approach in general that you've taken, how has that changed kind of throughout your career?
Yeah, I mean, lots of years in tickets and then premium and then kind of together, merged together when I was with my time at the Indians and our department did premium and sponsorship. So, helping on both sides of the business when it comes to that. And then the role here is primarily sponsorship, although, like I said, we're lean and mean. So we have a country music festival in September of 2021. So I've been helping on the premium side and group sales as well as sponsorship. So from a sponsorship perspective, in my opinion, how it's changed is based on all the analytics that are going on now that didn't exist 8 or 10 years ago or existed very shallowly 8 or 10 years ago, and people are using that data and all the great data companies that are out there to help teams and other brands make smart business decisions, where it's not just put my logo on a sign on a wall or a piece of static signage or digital signage. It's okay, what are the metrics on the eyeballs? How many people are going to come? Broadcast, how are you guys aligned to make sure that we get analytics behind the number of people seeing it at home on TV? So I think the big shift is in the last few years, and much more now, because brands have had a year or so to get smarter through the COVID time on how they do things. And there's new companies being founded every day that are helping teams and brands do those things because of, you know, shareholder value, and what's being spent on sports is more of the microscope the last few years than it probably ever has been.
Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense. And let's kind of expand on that. I mean, with your ticket sales background, obviously, you know, a lot of venues and teams and everybody are getting fans back into their facilities. What kind of things are you seeing there from kind of a return to a safe environment that you have there at the Hall of Fame? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we're a little bit different because we're not a professional sports team or a minor league sports team, or have a kind of a tenant, you know, sports team that somebody would buy season tickets for. So we're a little bit different, but we're doing the same things that I'm sure those teams are as well, is trying to make sure the venue or venues are safe for people to come back to kind of instill that buyer confidence. So making sure that you have the technology available to make sure people's temperature is correct when they're coming in the building, and making sure you can get those people in the building in a safe environment from a distance side of things. Making sure that the stadium, arena, venue, indoor, outdoor is clean and sanitary. There's a lot of companies out there that have got into this space as a PPE company, providing, you know, all the PPE that at times is challenging to acquire, especially the mass quantities for a sports facility or a sports, you know, entertainment complex, as big as it is, and as many people that need to work to make sure they have, you know, face coverings and gloves and different sanitizers and chemical products. So there's a lot of companies out there that have been doing a good job investing in their sales processes to get out to all the facilities like ours to make sure that we have the latest and greatest technology. Because, I mean, we're sports people. We're not, you know, we don't work for the CDC and that kind of stuff. So we're relying on a lot of those partners to give us good advice on how to make sure our venues are safe. So I would say that's the one big thing that's happened now that, you know, no one thought about, you know, a year or a little over a year ago, that are very, very important now.
And I know you've had a couple of interesting roles as adjunct professor in your career as well. Tell us a little bit about those experiences for you. And I guess in your mind, you know, what's important for your students to get out of your classes that you have with them?
Yeah, and thanks for the question. I mean, it's definitely my moonlighting. I have class tonight. I teach a sales and sponsorship class at Baldwin Wallace University in Berea, Ohio, real close to the Browns training facility. And taught a couple of years in PR and promotions at Kent State. It's been my opportunity to kind of give back to students. And I had some really good professors when I was going through undergrad and grad school. So trying to do that as well, and as well as preparing those students for careers in, you know, ticket sales or sponsorship. So I think having sports professionals with a number of years come back and teach adjunct is very valuable to the students, because there's a lot of classes that are specific, like a sales, that I think are better delivered, in my opinion, from people that have done it. And that's why there's a rash of universities and colleges hiring business professionals like you and I to come in and teach those classes from an experiential side of things. I think our sales and sponsorship class is going very well this year. We're about a week out from a big class of sponsorship presentations to a number of local sports organizations. So people are definitely getting in the right mindset in a week from now from pitching. I think we have 9 presentations in a 3-hour class, so or just under 3-hour class. So it's going to be fun. We just finished a project that we did with the Indians on group sales that we've been doing throughout the semester. Great partnership with the Indians over the years at BW. And the students learned a lot. We did their presentations on that project last week. And some of them did really well. And but all of them learned a lot. And they learned one thing. It was in 2 or 3 of the 9 decks, is that selling tickets is hard. Yes, it is. But if you approach it the right way, you can have a very fruitful career. And that's really, I think, what they learned, the number one thing they learned through the process.
Absolutely. Sounds like the future is bright there. Do you see a lot of students? I mean, you're working on kind of both sides there. Do you see some very interesting going to ticket sales, or does it open their eyes to what it looks like in ticket sales?
Yeah, I think I asked a question in the first class is, you know, raise your hand if you are interested in ticket sales. And it was about 50-50, which is a little surprising. I didn't think as many people would raise their hand. So I was excited about that. And even some of the ones that weren't sure, which is probably another 20% of people, or then the 20 or 20, 25% of people said, hey, no way, no how, not selling tickets, not me. But we had people that were interested in doing community relations and public relations and operations, and a couple of folks that were finance related as a double major or a minor. And I told them what is absolutely true. It's been told to me throughout my career is no matter what you do, you will need to have some kind of sales skill in operations. You're going to have 3 or 4 bidders on every project you do. In CRPR, you have to go pitch the community programs that you're supporting to some local charities or, you know, local donor groups. PR, you're pitching stories from a human interest perspective all the time to get in, you know, on digital papers or in radio stations or pitching a ticket plan on the radio when you're, you know, on air on radio or TV and that kind of stuff. So whatever you do, it is a sales process. So take what you will learn through the semester in the right scope. If ticket sales isn't your thing, and it's not everybody's thing, take some of the things you learn and you can apply it to what you're going to do when you get out of school.
Yeah, it's a very valuable, you know, skill to have. But obviously, there's a more of an opportunity to have an open door into other things, like you're saying, within organizations and lead to new discoveries and interests within those teams. So that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It sounds like you're very busy there. So I'll let you get back to the expansion of your facilities there and your partnerships. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate the time and the invite.